Most of us think of hospitals as cathedrals of healing and hope. And we stand in awe of the doctors and nurses who work in them as the architects of miracles. But even the best hospitals can be dangerous places with unknown hazards that can cause catastrophic harm. They are the battlefield of a war with an invisible enemy that never sleeps. Failing support systems that can't keep up.
I'm Dennis Quaid. I found out about healthcare harm because it happened to my family. Since 1999, we've known that more than 100,000 Americans die every year because of healthcare harm. That's the equivalent of more than 10 jumbo jet airliners crashing every single week. And that number doubles if you include infections that patients get from hospitals.
The sheer number of deaths is shocking. However, what's even more shocking is that it is possible to bring this number to almost zero. So why isn't it happening? You will meet just a few of the leaders who are making it happen.
They call it chasing zero. And they are preventing the enemy from shattering other families' lives the way it almost shattered mine. Our twins were born healthy and happy, and we just got them home. Wondered if they had a staph infection. They had to go back into the hospital. They were overdosed twice with 1,000 times the amount of heparin that they should have received. Our little twins were the victims of preventable harm. They came very, very close to dying. You know, I've been in the hospital in my life. I had never given a thought to my own safety about being there. I always trust the doctors and the nurses, and they knew what they were doing, and they never make mistakes. But this is preventable error. That was a wake-up call for my wife and I to try to do as much as we could to try to make sure this doesn't happen to other families.
Well, the twins were in the hospital, and they had made it. It made me feel that they had survived for a reason. First off, really thank God that they had pulled through. But they had survived for a reason, that they were maybe going to change the world in a little way that might wind up saving more lives.
I was looking for a way to help prevent harm to other families and children when I met Dr. Charles Denham, the leader of TMIT, a medical research organization in patient safety. He introduced me to the heroes in the movement, and I have found a role I can play. I've joined the army of those who are chasing zero harm together.
They're the group of leaders in hospitals who you can ask to step up.
I tell you what I'm excited about. I'm excited to be working with people like you, Chuck, because you've taught me quite a lot.
We are so grateful to have somebody that's a voice.
Oh, thank you.
Fear is a major barrier to action. But the great ones like the Mayo Clinic are ever vigilant and humble champions of high performance. They are just one of the Chasing Zero role models.
I'll never forget the day that we learned of the Quaid accident. A chill came over me. I asked myself, could this happen at the Mayo Clinic? The answer was yes.
The collaborative, empowering culture of Mayo allows nurses to redesign their workflow. They adopt safe practices and even allow their cleaning staff to get involved. They develop their own new cleaning checklist of high contact surfaces to prevent infections using culture methods from other industries.
If we can help them not to get more infection, we're not just cleaning rooms, we're saving lives.
This is a Pyxis medication dispensing unit. It's another system safety net we have to protect patients from the frailties of competent human beings. Our nurses enter the identification number and the patient name to make sure that the right medication is taken out of the Pyxis unit And the pharmacists put the medication in only after they barcoded it to make sure it is the right medication for the right patient and the right dose.
Despite the efforts of places like the Mayo Clinic, healthcare harm still occurs in many hospitals. Sue Sheridan is a great example of someone who has turned her family's tragedy into triumph by putting aside her anger and resentment, moving forward to make things better.
In 1995, my son Cal was born, a healthy baby, a normal delivery. When we were home, he started to change before our eyes, and eventually Cal was readmitted into the hospital. It was discovered that his jaundice was, I remember the nurse's terms, off the charts, one of the highest I'd ever seen at the hospital. They treated Cal's jaundice with traditional treatment with phototherapy. However, on the second day that he was there, after about 24 hours, Cal started arching backwards. They were classic signs of the onset of brain damage from jaundice. Cal now has a condition called crenicterus. It is brain damage from jaundice. And he has significant cerebral palsy. He's hearing impaired. He's speech impaired. Very bright, very witty. But his lifelong challenges were totally preventable.
We just finished a survey. We surveyed over 1,000 hospitals across the country. And when you look at the bottom performing, the worst performing hospitals in America, not a single board chair from any of those hospitals, not one, thought they were below average. I mean, these are hospitals that are at the very bottom of performance. They have terrible quality, and yet most thought they were better than average. A few thought they were about average, but not a single one thought they were below average. And it's a level of denial and a lack of knowledge about their own performance that I think is shocking.
Business performance guru Jim Collins has documented how even the mighty fall in his recent bestseller. The principles are frighteningly applicable to hospitals.
How do institutions fall? How do they go from great performance to good, to mediocre, to bad, and maybe even irrelevant and gone? But what we found is that it is actually a little bit like a stage of disease, that you go through the early stages of the disease still looking healthy on the outside. You can more easily deny that you're sick because you look healthy. Now, if you look inside, you might not look so healthy, but you look from the outside and you can still say, see, we're still doing well.
If our healthcare leaders can get through their denial about their failing systems, it becomes a David and Goliath story. Goliath is fear. Fear of shame, fear of malpractice, and fear of cost. To win the war on harm, we must activate the inner David in our hospital leaders. They will find that Goliath is not as big as they think he is. The weapons against healthcare harm are leadership, safe practices, and technology. Great leaders take risks. They confront their fear to drive adoption of best practices, and they invest in technologies that make it easier to be safe. Has this been done before? Do we have role models? Absolutely. Many agree that the Institute for Healthcare Improvement's 100,000 Lives campaign, led by Dr. Don Berwick, ignited the passions of America's healthcare leaders to save lives and put us on a path to zero harm.
Don, take me back to when you stepped up to the podium and announced the 100,000 Lives campaign. Were you scared? What was it like?
We knew we were going out on thin ice, and I was scared. I stood in front of 5,000 people at IHI's annual National Forum on Quality Improvement in Healthcare, and I was going to lay out this challenge.
Here's the number, 100,000. And here's the time, June 14th, 2006, 9 a.m.
I really didn't know what the reactions would be. Denial, anger, silence. Of course, what happened was just the opposite. We got more involvement and more enthusiasm and more buoyancy in the pursuit of healthcare improvement than I had experienced in my entire career.
What was it like to realize that the 100,000 Lives campaign then was achieved, the goal was met?
The biggest surprise in the 100,000 Lives campaign and the 5 Million Lives campaign that followed it was the reservoir, the immense reservoir of goodwill, commitment, courage, intention in the healthcare workforce, doctors, nurses, technicians, pharmacists, managers all over the nation, eventually all over the world, really wanting to make care safer and better. Not angry that we were challenging them to do it, but grateful that we would put a stake in the ground and that we would say, let's go do this. That energy, it still awes me.